Could a routine antibiotic quietly trigger severe respiratory failure in young patients? Find out about this and more in today's PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. I'm your host, Senior VP and Medical Director, Dr. Tim Wright, coming to you once again from the Pioneer Valley in Western Massachusetts. Here are today's stories. A new population-based study should prompt clinicians to reassess routine use of trimethoprim sulfamethoxazole in adolescents and young adults. In more than 750,000 patients, initiation of TMP-SMX was associated with nearly a threefold higher 30-day risk of acute respiratory failure compared with amoxicillin or cephalosporins. Still rare, but consistently elevated across analyses. Events were severe. Many required mechanical ventilation, ECMO, or tracheotomy, typically occurring around day 9 after starting therapy. Investigators note that although absolute risk is low, the pattern matches more than 19 prior case reports of fulminant respiratory failure and aligns with the FDA's updated warning. They highlight the possibility of genetic susceptibility, particularly HLA variants and differences in drug metabolism pathways that could drive toxic intermediates and exaggerate immune responses. The study also underscores diagnostic challenges. Respiratory failure may initially mimic infection progression rather than drug toxicity. The authors call for replication, potential updates to prescribing guidelines, and consideration for pharmacogenetic screening in the future. Until then, clinicians should remain aware that even a short course of TMP-SMX can precipitate life-threatening lung injury in a small subset of otherwise healthy young patients. In our next story, we learn from two new Cochrane reviews bringing unusually strong evidence that HPV vaccination is preventing real disease, not just intermediate outcomes. Together, they synthesized data from more than 132 million people and over 200 studies. In the population-level review, moderate certainty evidence from 20 cohort studies showed clear reductions in cervical cancer, CIN3+, CIN2+, and anogenital warts among vaccinated adolescents. Cervical cancer incidence fell 63% overall and by 80% when vaccination occurred at or before age 16. CIN3+ dropped 74% in the long term, and CIN2+ fell 41% in the medium term and 62% long term. Anogenital warts declined by about half across 47 studies. Importantly, across diverse study designs, vaccination was not linked to increased risk of POTS, chronic fatigue syndrome, premature ovarian failure, infertility, or Guillain-Barré syndrome. The companion network meta-analysis of 60 randomized trials reinforced these findings, confirming significant reductions in CIN2+ and anogenital warts with no increase in serious adverse events. And finally, Kentucky has reported its third infant death from pertussis in the past 12 months, part of the state's largest whooping cough surge since 2012. As of November 19th, officials have identified 566 cases, with more expected before the year's end. All three infants who died and their mothers were unvaccinated. Public health authorities are urging clinicians to reinforce prevention, starting with maternal TDAP during every pregnancy, which provides critical passive antibodies to newborns. Infants should receive TDAP at 2, 4, 6, and 12 to 15 months, followed by a kindergarten booster and a preteen TDAP at 11 to 12 years, and a TDAP or TD every 10 years for teens and adults, or sooner for wound management or when close contact with a newborn is expected. Despite school entry requirements, only 86% of kindergartners and 85% of seventh graders in Kentucky are up to date. With infants at the highest risk for hospitalization and deaths, clinicians play a key role in ensuring timely vaccination, maternal immunization, and clear counseling during this surge. And that's today's medical news. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@puredirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, what's my Flash Briefing? Thanks today to Sean Mullen, Norm Deanna, and Bryce Sadie for production assistance. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.